That's the spirit.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, how's it going there, Johnny?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
I'm here, but I'm just being really quiet.
Oh, big hungry?
Oh, okay. Right, big hungry. Nice to see you both.
Hey, yes, what have you decided our topic this afternoon?
I've been reading a novel based on the fall of Constantinople to the Ottoman Turks in 1453, and I'm just totally engrossed in the subject at the moment. So this is modern Istanbul.
1453. That's going back a bit.
Yep. So in 1453 came about one of those momentous events that at the present time we should reflect on how profoundly important Islam actually has been in the shaping of Europe. Because what's so interesting is in 1453, the last Roman city finally fell to the Ottoman Turks.
Right.
And so this is long after the fall of Rome, which was 1,000 years before that date. And in 14th, a city often called Byzantium, because it really was a Greek-speaking Roman Empire by then, hung on the edge of the growing power of Islam for about 800 years. And then in 1453, betrayed by many, many forces, the Greeks could hold on no longer. They'd hoped to get a bit of cooperation from the Catholic Church. And in fact, the emperor of the day decided that he'd unite the churches and replace the Greek Mass by the Latin Mass in the great Hagia Sophia Cathedral. Have you heard of Hagia Sophia?
No.
I did a little bit of looking this afternoon and I...
John's heard of it. John's
I saw that
it.
It's the second most visited museum in Turkey. It attracts 3.3 million people annually.
It's a most extraordinary place. So Hagia Sophia was built by the Emperor Justinian as a replacement for the original temple... original church that was built by Constantine when he founded the city in the 320s, so 322. This a great church to the holy wisdom, that's what Hagia Sophia means, was built in the centre of this new Rome, as it was then called, by Constantine when he founded, because he wanted to escape the pressures of old pagan Rome and to create a purely Christian city. And he saw Constantinople, which sat on the edge of the Black Sea, as, you know, in a strategic position for maintaining the Roman presence in the east, which was far more wealthy than the rundown west.
So old Rome was getting him down, just wanted a new Rome.
Well, old Rome was quite vulnerable because in many ways the trouble about the Italian peninsula is that the Alps, you know, constant threats from the barbarian tribes being pushed by the growth of the Mongols and the other tribal peoples of Eurasia, were constantly pressuring that border. And the Romans had never secured the Germania border. Wasn't really, you know, that far into Europe. So Europe had a kind of dividing line running through modern Germany, I guess, just beyond the Rhine River. And so was huge potential lay in the Eastern Territories, and it felt as though there was no opposition. If they went there, they could grow. But in fact, with the emergence of Islam in the 7th century, that all changed, and the city was more and more pressured by the Islamic forces. And then in 1453, really betrayed by everybody, and in the end brought down by a gigantic cannon.
Whoa!
Which shot these massive, cannonballs, against the supposedly impregnable walls of Constantinople. And unfortunately, the Greeks had been offered the chance to use this cannon against the Turks, but they couldn't afford the price.
Oh, wow.
And so this was the story of how it came about that Constantinople fell to the Ottoman Turks. It's a fascinating story.
The building itself, how would you describe it? Because I looked at some pictures of it, and it looks to me like something out of Star Wars almost.
Yes, it's almost impossible, I think, to get a clear idea, because there's really... I'm one of those little architectural models that enables you to look at the building through various angles and directions. And that's given me a sense of it. So basically, when Justinian rebuilt it after the... There was a riot in Constantinople in Justinian's period. And the result was that most of the city was fired, burnt down. This was riots between the two different athletic teams, the Greens and the Blues, if I remember rightly. And the effect of this was that Justinian saw a chance to build in magnificence. So it's really dome after dome, heading up to a great, great central dome in the middle of the central space.
Sounds like a beaut.
And full of mosaics. Astonishing, brilliant mosaics, which today you can't see because they're completely covered over by Islamic
paintings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And that was because the Muslims despised the use of graphic art of people. They believed that was kind of improper.
Right.
In the first instance, that dome must have seemed like the heavens, you know. And interestingly enough, the emperor himself had his own special gallery in which he looked down at the kind of the mysteries of the mass going on in the central sanctuary. And it must have been astoundingly splendid. And so the first thing that the Muslim invaders did when they seized the city and defeated it was painted over all the remnants of the glories that Justinian had made. But now it's been turned into a museum. And I know I was talking to somebody today who said that she was in there quite recently, that they're beginning to peel back and show some of the glories of it. But would they really go back? I'm sure the mosaics are still there.
Right. Yeah, because it's fired stuff, isn't it?
I guess it depends on the technology of removing thousand-year-old paint, doesn't it?
Well, also the willingness to do that. Because,
it's annoying, isn't it, getting paint off stuff? It's not easy, is it?
There is that. But underneath these glittering mosaics, it would be... people used to come and they were just awestruck by this church.
No doubt.
It's an interesting thought. But in a way, as a museum now, it's a remnant to what we do have to remember, that Islam has often been portrayed as barbaric by the West. But, you know, in some ways, there was plenty of barbarism on both sides. It was just that...
No doubt.
Islam won in 1453 because... Sounds pretty similar to today, because the West had no idea what it stood for, really.
Right.
You know? There were rival versions of Christianity. There was plenty of money in Renaissance Italy, but do you think they would lend it? No, they were much more interested in raiding the monasteries and getting the manuscripts.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hey, sounds really fascinating, Peter. So how far through the book are you? Just about...
How many pages are we talking here?
It's a Kindle book, and I have no idea where I'm up to. I'm over 50%, but how many more pages and how many pages I've read, I do not know, because I just get engrossed in the book and I get lost. It's called Constantinopolis.
Yes.
And it's very enjoyable because it's like a day-by-day account.
Interesting.
Of the emperor trying to...
How it went down.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
All right, well, thank you very much. Perhaps as you find your way through the book, we can revisit this.
Okay, let you know, yes. I'm afraid the end, I know what the ending story is going to be.
Yeah.
It's
the intricacies in between that you...
That's right.
All right, mate.
All good. Thank you.
Cool.
Cheers, Peter.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.